Now we have a special guest speaker. I don't know if we, yeah, she's very special. Linda Wells is speaking to us this morning. She's here a lot and speaks a lot. If you don't know Linda Wells, you should, because she is an absolute warrior of the faith for Christ. She's been doing ministry for, I don't even know how many years. You can come up here, Linda, while I'm saying nice things about you. And I'm always blessed to hear Linda because she comes from such a place of experience and wisdom. And I think if you're going through something today in your life, you've come to church on a good Sunday, and you're going to really enjoy your message. So please welcome Linda Wells.
Thank you, Derek. Well, boy, I feel like the worship and the word this morning just really confirmed what I'm going to be sharing with you this morning. So that's always exciting when that happens. Gives you more confidence that you've heard from God. Well, Dave and Joel are both way in Uganda, and I think this should be my opportunity to really get back at them, because they're always using me as a sermon illustration and always mocking me and from the pulpit. But you know, I decided I'm better than that. I'm not going to do that today. You know why? Because I'm going to keep my head, so that I can control my mind. And I can control my mouth, what comes out of it. And the reason that I have to do that today, or else I wouldn't, is because I'm going to be speaking to you on keeping your head. And so I have to practice what I preach this morning. But anybody that sits beside me in church knows that I'm a real note taker. And it doesn't matter who's speaking, I want to take notes. I have just all these little scribblers of notes. But on March 17th, Catherine Gagne was doing a message in that series on Living Your Call. And I was just feverishly taking notes and all the good things that she was saying. And she was talking about preparedness to do with living our call. And she used a scripture from the NIV version in 2 Timothy 4:1-5. And you know, how God spoke to me out of it, especially out of verse 5, had nothing to do with what Catherine was sharing at the time. But I knew that I heard that still small voice speaking to me saying, Linda, keep your head. And he also told me at that same time that I should be preparing a message on this area about keeping my head. And so when Joel asked me to speak this Sunday, I thought, oh, okay, I do have a word in my spirit. I just haven't developed it yet. But I knew I was to talk to you about keeping your head. Because learning how to keep your head is part of being mature in Christ, right? And it's all part of that growing that Joel's been talking about. And it comes with growing pains. So let's have a look at these verses in 2 Timothy 4:1-5 in the NIV. We'll put this up on the screen for you. Because Paul was mentoring Timothy at the time. And this is a charge that he gave to Timothy in these verses. So let's look at 2 Timothy 4:1-5. It says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared, in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their heads away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. So he was telling them what he should do. He was telling Timothy what he should do. He said in verse 2, this is how you respond to people. In verse 3 and 4, he said, this is what's going to happen in the days ahead. But then verse 5, he says, Timothy, keep your head in all situations. Well, what does it mean to keep your head in all situations? I think it means to get a hold of yourself, to keep your cool, to be in charge and control of your mind, your emotions, and your spirit, and everything that comes into our lives every day. It means to be spirit-controlled, not flesh-controlled. And it's all about responding to every circumstance, to every situation in our life, rather than reacting. responding rather than reacting to it. So in studying this verse, keep your head, I found out that it was from a verb that often means sober, to be sober, to abstain from wine. But in the New Testament, it has the metaphorical sense of being self-controlled or self-possessed. So Timothy is to keep his self-control under all circumstances. That's what Paul is trying to tell him. And this verb, in other parts of the New Testament, is amplified from the Greek to mean calm, collect, and circumspect. So self-control is one of the things that Peter tells us in 2 Peter 1:6 to make every effort to add to our faith. If you remember that scripture, it talks about all these things to become a mature Christian, to grow as a Christian, to grow in virtue and to grow in wisdom and knowledge. And then it says, and add self-control, make every effort to add that to our faith. So, you know, everyone deals with heavy things in life, right? There's nobody exempt from it. We all have battles to fight. We all go through times of loss. We go through times of pain, of disappointment, betrayal, discouragement in relationships, in our jobs, our finances, our marriage, our families at times. And when you're going through these dark times, you know what happens, at least it does to me, you feel like you're the only one. But you remember the prophetic word this morning, it said, I'm by your side. I'm with you, right? You're not alone, and you're not alone in these things. It may be your time today, but mine tomorrow, and vice versa, to go through a dark time. I'm not trying to be a prophet of doom this morning, but that's just life. It says in Ecclesiastes 9:12, it says, moreover, no one knows when their hour will come, as fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so people are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. You see, if we knew ahead of time that these things were going to happen, we could be better prepared, right? That's what I always figure. I could gear myself up. I could get ready to handle these things in a calmer sense. I'd be more in control of the situation. But no, it says they fall unexpectedly upon us. And therefore, we must always be ready. We need to be prepared for the unexpected. Those things that are going to come out of left field. Those things that are going to blindside us. The latest storm that just blew in. You know, I had a knock on my door this morning about 6 o'clock. And because days away, I thought, who's at my door at 6 o'clock? My dog was already barking. He beat me to the door. I threw my house coat on I thought, what do? Do I open the door? And so I opened it just a little bit, and I didn't recognize who it was. I went, oh! I slammed the door shut really fast, made sure it was locked, and that this person kept on knocking, and my dog kept on barking. And so I thought, who was that? That maybe it was my neighbor. It kind of looked like him, but not my one right close. It was one across, and I'm short-sighted, and I don't always see his face up close. And this guy had glasses, and I don't remember my neighbor having glasses. But so he was still knocking, and I could hear him kind of speaking through the door, and I said, who is this? And he said something else, something about a security system or something, and I said, are you my neighbor? And this was all through the door. And he said, yes, I am. So I opened the door up, and I said, oh, I'm really sorry. And he says, do you have any of those little cameras on your house that record what's going on in the neighborhood? And because he said, I see your security stuff. And I said, I don't think we have a camera. And he said, well, my truck was just stolen in the middle of the night. He said, about 3 in the morning, he said, my truck was stolen. And so I just thought about this in this message. That hit my neighbor. It broadsided him today. It blindsided him, right? He didn't know that was going to happen. It fell on him unexpectedly at 3 o'clock in the morning. And life can be hard at times. But you know, we can make it worse by our response if we don't keep our head. I know people who have gone through some terrible things in their life. They've had a lot of hard battles. But you know what? They came out with no smell of smoke on them. But I know other people who have come out bitter, who've been depressed, who've been jealous of others' lot in life, who even turn their back on God. And what happens to them is they become a victim of their circumstances, and they live with that victim mentality all their life. Well, I've come to realize more and more that life is learning how to navigate tension, pressure, and stress. And stress isn't what happens to us. It's our response to what happens to us. And that response is something that you and I can choose. You see, the secret is God in me, not me in a different set of circumstances. It's God in me, not me in a different set of circumstances. Well, how does this play out in real life situations? How do we keep our head? So I want to touch on a few areas where I think that it's important that we learn to keep our head. And the first one is keeping your head in the storms of life. We were singing this morning about those waves that come over us. Somebody, I think it was Tricia, somebody said something to do with this. Keeping our head in the storms of life. Paul told Timothy to do this. You know, my father was a man who believed in God. He didn't always walk with him, and he had a limited knowledge of the Word of God because he didn't do much Bible study on his own, and I didn't think he had very good teaching in the particular denominational church he attended when I was about 10 to 19 years of age. That's when he went to church. But he was a man of wisdom in many ways. And his sisters and his nieces and his nephews, they always wanted to know what Keith, that was my dad's name, they always wanted to know what Keith thought about a certain matter. If they had a problem, they would come to Keith to get his wisdom. He was a man who knew how to keep his head. And he was able to settle everybody else down in our family, including my mom and me. His favorite phrase to me was this. He always said, "Linda, use your common sense." And even when I was in my teen years, he would say, "Linda, I trust you to use wisdom in who you're going to spend your time with, who you're going to choose as friends, who you're going to date, where you're going to go." And boy, when he put that on me, oh, he was a wise man, right? Because then I kept hearing in the back of my mind, I would hear his words coming back to me. Well, one such occasion where I heard his words come back to me was out on the South China Sea. Now, some of you have heard this story, or at least little bits of it, but many haven't, and I want to use it today because I think it's such a good illustration about keeping our head in the storms of life. Dave and I had been ministering at a youth retreat in the Philippines. This is about 1998. And the pastor and his wife had decided that on one of those days, they were going to take us, the youth retreat was on the Bataan Peninsula, and they were going to take us and to visit Corregidor Island because they knew that Dave was interested in war stories and things like that. And so Corregidor Island was just south of the Bataan Peninsula on the Luzon Island. And it was the scene of World War II battles, where the U.S. and Filipino forces, they fought against the Japanese. We know it was a Japanese victory. And it was fortified with coastal artillery to defend the entrance to Manila Bay and to Manila from the attacks of enemy warships. And now it's a national shrine where tourists go and visit. Well, now you can take sun cruises and stuff in there. Well, we didn't take any sun crews to go over to Corregidor. What we took was an old outrigger canoe. And because Dave loves history and had read all about what had gone on in Corregidor in the war, he wanted to see everything that was there. So believe me, we were the last people to leave the island that day. They were actually closing everything up and telling us almost that we had to get out. And so we headed down to where our canoe was. But by the time we got there, we could see that the sky was getting very dark and ominous looking. And then we looked out over the sea, and it was very, very dark. And the waves were getting up, and it looked so angry. And Dave said to me, he said, "I don't like the looks of this." And I thought, boy, this looks dark and foreboding. And I said, "I don't either." And then the wind began to get up very strong, and the sea became very rough. And I said to Dave, "Well, we're not going to be going back in that canoe tonight. We're going to have to figure out a way to stay here." And Dave said, "Linda, of course we're going to have to." He said, "There's no place to stay here." He says, "Nobody lives on this island. It's just the people that maintain it." And he says, "Besides," he said, our Filipino canoeists, he said, "they're waiting to go back home." So by this time, the workers and the people who stayed on the island, they'd all gathered on the shore to see us off. And you could see their concerned looks on their faces. And it just looked really eerie to me. It just felt wrong. And so this story is all about keeping your head in the storm of life. So the first thing you need to do is to keep your head is don't look at the waves. Don't look at the darkness of the sea, how big the obstacle is in front of you. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. How big is your God in comparison to those waves or the storm that you're in this morning? And the second thing is, keep your head and then get in the boat. You see, you've got no choice at times but to go through the storm, right? You can't avoid it, or you would. And as much as everything within me wanted to stay on that island, I knew we couldn't. And it's times like this you keep your head by reminding yourself who is in the boat with you. You remember that other story, right, about Jesus and his disciples on the Sea of Galilee and who was in the boat with them? You see, your storm may not involve you going through an actual turbulent sea. You may be battling a serious illness, a prodigal child, a financial struggle, an issue in your marriage, being misunderstood, trouble on the job. Whatever it is, it requires the same response, to know that Jesus is with you in your storm. I believe that some of you here are going through a storm this morning. I know I had a storm that just blew in that my family doesn't even know about yet. And you know what? Jesus is with us in this storm. Well, we got in the canoe, all eight of us, the two Pays, their two young girls, Dave and I, and the two Filipinos who owned the boat. And immediately, they dug up two old ripped-up life jackets that we put on the two little girls. And then Amy and I, we were handed this great big black tarp, and so we held that against us as we stood at the bottom of the boat, and we tried to put it right around the girls as well. And Joey was right out on the top, and he just kind of had his arms just around this little wooden box, just kind of like this. And then my husband, he was holding on to this little mast. Believe me, this little wooden mast, believe me, they were holding on as tight as they could. Well, we headed out, and immediately the waves began to pour into the canoe. One guy ran the motor, and one guy bailed with a small container. Well, the waves, they just washed right over my head, went right down the front of my sundress, and I thought, boy, this water is so salty. I never experienced that before. Amy and I just kept holding those children right tight to us and holding this tarp up here, and the motor just kept stalling and stalling on us. And that was the last thing we needed right now. And Dave, who's had a lot of experience with boats and canoes, he knew we were in trouble. And so he said to me, he kept thinking, if they don't get this motor going, he says, we're in danger of going sideways, of just rolling over and flipping. And at one point, he just looked at me, he said, Linda, this is craziness. And so, but he was trying to keep his head and his mind straight, because this is what he said. He said, Linda, he said, if this thing flips, he said, don't you try and swim. He said, stick with the canoe. Well, trying to swim was the last thing I had on my mind right at that time. And so this is the third thing. Keep your head and deal with your mind when you're in the storm. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, because the enemy is an opportunist. When we're sick, when our children or grandchildren are not doing well, when we have to get up to speak or to minister, or to stand for righteousness, or when God is going to use us personally in a special way or a big way, or when he's going to use our congregation in a big way, he's going to do something awesome in our midst, that's when the enemy starts attacking us, and then he starts attacking our mind. He takes advantage of the storms that we're in to play with our heads. Well, the reason I wasn't thinking of swimming is because my mind was remembering all the squid fishermen that we had passed as we were coming over to Corregidor, and I didn't want to end up in the water with the squid. Well, Dave told me later that night, he said, never mind the squid nibbling at your toes. He said, I remember the prisoners that tried to escape from this island. I read all the war stories. And he said, when they tried to escape, he said it was shark infested and most of them were eaten by the sharks. Well, what you don't know doesn't hurt you. But I could hear my father's voice in the distance when I was out there. Linda, where's your common sense? How did you end up out here? How did you let yourself get in this situation? Believe me, I was wondering that myself. I just started making deals with God. I said, God, if you get me out of here, God, I promise I will serve you all my life. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything you want. Just get me out of here. And then another thought came to my mind. Oh, my. Tracy's at home. My granddaughter Tamika was just a baby at the time. God, Tracy and Tamika need us. God, you can't let us drown. I was telling them all the reasons. And that's what we do, don't we, when we're in the midst of storms. My mind was going where it shouldn't go. We can only feel the strength of the waves sometimes against us in the midst of storms. We think every negative thought till our problem is blown out of proportion. Maybe some of you are doing that right now. Well, don't go there. What did Paul tell Timothy to do? Keep your head, right. Keep your head. Don't give your mind to the enemy, or he's going to take it, and he'll use it to fill you with fear. Don't panic. God's got this. God's got this. Well, Amy Toupee, the pastor's wife, talk about keeping your head. Right in the midst of this storm, she calmly said, "One thing I know, Linda, if we don't make it back home today," she says, "I have five more back home that are willing to carry on the work of the ministry." That was the last thing I needed to hear at that point in time. But her peace and her amazing peace, really, her calmness, it really, really touched me. Dave said, too, he said, "Linda, do you," because we were talking about this. I told Dave what I was going to share about our story. And he said, "Do you remember that big tanker that was out there?" And I said, "No, I forgot about that." He said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "I remember that huge tanker that was out there." He says, "I was worried and I was praying that that thing wouldn't run us over." Well, keep your head. And number four, keep your head and don't let your problems become hindrances. Don't let them stop you from all God has from you, from living a joy-filled life. Avoid those tankers. Go around them. Don't let them get in your way or hinder you in your marriage or at your workplace or with your children. This might be happening in my life right now. It seems like a pretty big tanker. You may be having some pretty big tankers in your life. But don't let it stop you from living the life God has for you. You know, I can't do for anybody else. I can only do for me. You see, you can't fix your problem, and neither can I, or you would have already, right? But you can stop the tanker from wiping you out. Number five, keep your head. See the lighter side of things, keeping your sense of humor at all times. Don't let Satan steal your joy. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. So keep strong. Keep strong. Well, Dave has always said to me, "Stick with me, Mom. You'll live an exciting life." And believe me, as these waves were going up and down, were bouncing up and down, I did change into giddiness. And when this time I turned around, and I hollered back at him and I said, "Dave, this is just a little too exciting." And that was, we both started to laugh. And that was just like medicine for us out there. Because the Bible says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." And that was just like we had a stress reliever for a few minutes out there. Well, obviously we're here. So in time, the wind did die down and the sea calmed. And off in the distance came this most beautiful rainbow. And I was the first one to see it, and I just explained. I said, "Look at you guys, look at the rainbow. That's God's promise to us. We're going to be okay." And there's a time, folks, when your storm is going to end, and you're going to see the rainbow. If you've kept your head strong, if you've kept your head and you've endured the hardships like Paul told Timothy to do, you will come out stronger than ever and love God more for what he brought you through. You see, every time God brings me through a storm, every time I come out the other side and I see the rainbow, you know what happens? I fall more in love with Jesus. Because then I say, Lord, you're who you say you are. But you don't see it in the storm. Well, when we got to the shore, I had the sundress on, remember? And it was a real long one. So it was just full of water. So I was standing there and I was wringing out my sundress and all the water was just pouring out of it. And these little Filipino boys and girls were looking up at us at these crazy Canadians, wondering why they're all soaking wet. And the toupees, they said they were heading back. They had a certain vehicle that they were in. They were heading back, but there wasn't room for us in that one. So they said, you wait here, and we'll send the van back for you. Well, Dave and I, we waited, and we were wet and cold, and nothing, no van was coming. Finally, we get a message that the van, which we had just been in yesterday, that had gone up the day before, had gone up many mountainous roads in the Philippines, had the brakes go on it. God spared us again. That's all I could think of. And so we had to find out how we were going to get away back. They said, try to get a taxi. So we hired a guy with a tricycle, but it's not the kind of tricycles that we have here. It was like this big bike that had these passenger seats over to the side. And so Dave and I got in this little thing over here, and as soon as we got in, right written on this little headboard of that little seat, it said, "In God we trust." Amen. I thought that was good. So yes, God is able to get us out of all of our evil times that fall unexpectedly upon us if we don't panic but keep our heads. Well, another area where we need to keep our head, beside keeping our head in the storms of life, is to keep our head with our temperament. Why have a spirit-controlled temperament? If we don't keep our head, we won't be able to keep our mind straight, to control our thoughts, we won't control our mouth, our emotions, and even have control over our bodies at times. You know, we witnessed a hot tub party in our neighborhood this spring already. And boy, they were smoking or drinking something because it was wild. And I'll tell you, the language, the four-letter words and the foul language that was just carrying over into our yard was really unreal. And I knew that a couple of these guys had just had too much of whatever. And they were just yelling at the top of their lungs. And their friends even were embarrassed. You could see that. Their friends were trying to quiet them down to no avail. But it made me think of this when I thought of those guys making a complete fool of themselves, embarrassing them, their friends and everybody. It reminded me of this verse. In Proverbs 25:28, it says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." You see, a city that is broken down and without walls is open for its enemies to come rushing in and plunder it. And there's going to be much devastation that takes place. And when we don't exercise self-control, and we don't rule our spirit, and we give into our flesh, we say and do things that we'd never do, and we would regret them later. We hurt others with our outbursts of rage, anger, jealousy, bitterness, because we've given a foothold to the enemy in our lives. And Ephesians 4:27 says, to leave no room for the devil. Give him no opportunity. You see, if we don't rule our spirit, we're saying to the devil, come and get us. Come and get us. And he will. That's what he's looking for. You probably discovered that already. Proverbs 10:19 says, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. James 1:19 says, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. There's been times I wish I would have kept my mouth shut and just listened first. I wish I hadn't gotten defensive in a certain situation. Have you ever felt like that? Am I the only one who's quick that I have to say my piece? And sometimes I don't think before I speak, or is that only what the Wellses do? Well, Proverbs 29:11 says, "A fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back." And these verses are talking about a man or a woman who know how to keep their head, who lets God's Spirit control their temperament, not their flesh. And the title of this series is Growing Pains. And that's the kind of person that God wants us to grow up to be. See, in 1 Peter 3, and this isn't on your screen, but I was thinking of it earlier. You know, it says about women, it says that ladies, that our beauty shouldn't just be the clothes we wear, the jewelry we do, the way we braid our hair or do our hair or anything, but it says that it should come from our inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle, quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. And two women immediately came to my mind, both Sarah and Abigail. You know, those women had God's poise, and they kept their heads, even in their lives where their husbands were really unreasonable, both Sarah's and Abigail's, and yet they kept their head in the midst of that. Well, it's not just for ladies, but for men too, that need to keep their head. In Isaiah 53:2, it even talks about Jesus, and it says, Jesus had no physical beauty that attracted people. It says he had no form or comeliness that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. Yet people were drawn to him. People were drawn to Jesus, even though it says that outwardly there wasn't anything that really should attract people to him. And I believe it was because of his loving, gracious, submissive, and steady spirit. Hey, you could start feeling condemned if you're thinking, oh man, I just blew it. Well, you know what? If you blow it, if you blow it and you lose control of your temperament, if you lose your head, then get it back, right? You can go after it. My husband always says this, do the next right thing. You see, if you ask God to forgive you, and you repent, and then you do the next right thing, and if that should happen again, and you have to repent and do the next right thing, keep doing that. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to develop a habit of doing the next right thing first. You're going to find you are able to keep your head. So there's hope for us. Okay, and the third thing is keeping our head keeps us free from offense and paranoia. And one critical reason that we need to keep our head is because the devil is always trying to play with our minds. He wants to distort our thinking. He wants to cause strife and division between people and families, in local churches, on staff, in life groups, on ministry teams, between people in a congregation, because he knows that where there's unity, God is going to command a blessing. And that's what we want. We want God to command his blessing in our midst. And he knows that when God commands a blessing, then great things are going to be accomplished through that people. So he's always attacking our unity. And the enemy is good at making us think things that people aren't thinking. You know, but it's not only the enemy sometimes. I find out sometimes it's our insecurities can make us feel that way. And the enemy just uses them. Anyone get these thoughts? I don't feel very loved. I don't feel very appreciated. Nobody likes me. Well, everybody else gets all the breaks. I know they're talking behind my back. I don't fit. I think I'll quit. Ever have those things come to your mind? I know you do, because we're all the same, and the enemy always has the same bag of tricks that he uses on everyone. In Ecclesiastes 7:21-22, it says, "Do not pay attention to every word people say, or you may hear your servant cursing you. For you know in your heart that many times you yourself have cursed others." Other translations say, "Do not take seriously all the words that are spoken to you. Keep your head. Don't listen to everything people say. You know, there's been times that you too have said bad things about other people. And I'm sure glad that you haven't written me off yet. and that God hasn't written me off. Proverbs 19:11 says, "A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression." Wow, that's maturity. If you feel, though, that it's something you can't let go, if you think someone is offended by something that you've said, or someone has offended you, go to that person and talk about it, rather than letting the offense grow in your head and things become bigger than they really are. But let's grow up and not take things so personal all the time. That's maturity. We can be just too sensitive at times. We need to learn how to give grace, to overlook offenses, not harbor unforgiveness, for we too have said things to people that we shouldn't. We all have blind spots. Folks, we're all maturing. We're all wanting to grow in God. And no one here, I believe, has arrived yet to a mature man to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ that's talked about in Ephesians 4. Or is there? If there is anyone, I sure want to meet you because you'd probably be the closest to Jesus. No, I don't think so. We're all on that growth process, right? So let's keep our head. Let's keep our head and remain free from offense and paranoia. And number four, keep your head in the times we live in. You see, Timothy was warned that the time would come when people would not be able to tolerate sound doctrine. Paul told Timothy to defend and proclaim doctrine in accord with the truth of God's word. He said the time is going to come when people won't listen to the truth. Instead, to suit their own desires, they're going to gather around the many teachers who are going to say what they want them to say because they want to gratify their own self-willed hearts. He said they will turn their ears from the truth and will turn aside to senseless myths. But Paul said, Timothy, you keep your wits about you. You keep your head. You remain cool. You keep steady, being ready instant in season and out of season to preach the word, exhort, reprove, and rebuke with great patience, he says. Do all those things, but do them with great patience and instruction. And if Paul told Timothy that back in his day, what would he say in our day? You know, every century, every season of time has always had things like this happen. But boy, there's things that are coming in the last days. There's things in our world that hasn't happened before. I believe we're living in these times. Don't you feel at times like the whole world has gone insane? That they've lost their common sense, as my dad would say? Killing babies in the womb. People not happy with the way that God has created them as male or female, so trying to make themselves into another gender. People being burned alive for not following a religion they can't agree with. The opiate drug crisis in our nation that's out of control. We hear of so many senseless shootings in schools. We see political parties at one another's throats. People calling good evil and evil good. It can get really depressing if you just look at that, right? And instead of the nation's governments being there for the peace and the safety and the well-being of people, they're a big part of the problem. That's why we're exhorted in 2 Timothy 2:1. It says to pray for our leaders or our government that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life in all godliness and all dignity. Church, I can't emphasize it enough. We need to be a people of prayer in these days. We need to rise up. We need to awaken ourselves in prayer. We need to come out to prayer meetings. You know, we have a prayer meeting every Sunday morning that starts at 8:30 in there. You can come anytime between 8:30 and 9:15 and just pray. And let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for those people that are in government, those people in authority over us. Pray in your life groups. Pray at the meetings that you have. Pray in the schools. Pray by yourself in your own prayer closet. But we need to be a people that pray right now. As people who have been called out of darkness into the light, who know Jesus as their personal Savior, we need to be keeping our head in such a time as this. There's going to be danger of people falling away. The Scripture says they're being seduced by doctrines of demons. It says in Matthew 24, in the last days, that even the very elect are in danger of being deceived. But we must remain true to God's word and stand up for righteousness for the sake of this generation and the generation to come. I just read a quote of Francis Chan's just yesterday. It's Francis Chan said this, "The church must stop apologizing for what God says is right and wrong in a politically correct culture." We need to stop apologizing for what we believe. If we're believing God's word, it's the truth. Amen. These are times to know your Bible. If you're only on the milk of the word, you can be deceived. You won't keep your head. Hebrews 5, 12 to 14 says this, "In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." It's the mature Christian who knows the word well by hearing it and doing it constantly. They're going to have themselves trained to know good from evil. You see, spiritual maturity is tied to obedience, not to time or age. Well, what does God say about life? What does he say? That's who we need to listen to. Not what the media, movie stars, leaders with no character are telling you to believe. Who sets the standard? The Bible sets the standard. God's word is the standard. Keep your head, church. How do you do this? Well, fellowship with others who are serving God from a pure heart. Let God speak to you from the word of God when you're having your personal time with him. And if you aren't having them, begin to have them. And as you assemble in the house of God to worship him together with the congregation and to hear instruction from the word of God, these are all ways that we need to keep our heads. We need to deal with the sin in our life. We need to be ruthless with sin in our life, because if we allow it to be there, we're going to be just open for the devil to deceive us. Be a teachable, humble person, as Joel was talking about last week. Well, Paul started off in 2 Timothy 4, 1-5, by telling Timothy to be governed in his thinking, not just by the present life, but also by the coming judgment and the eternal kingdom of Christ. Before he even started that whole thing about keeping your head, he said, this is why you should be governed in your thinking. It's a very important reason to keep our head and thinking straight. The coming judgment, and in light of eternity. So in conclusion, if you keep your head, you're going to be able to say like Paul in 2 Timothy 4, 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. How many want to stand before the Lord and be able to say that? I know I do. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. And you know what? It may feel like that fight is a long, hard battle at times. It may feel that that race is just a many-mile marathon. But if you hold firmly to your faith, you won't be taken away on a tangent. You won't be deceived by what's happening in our world. And the Bible says that your reward is coming. 2 Timothy 4:8 says, in the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all those who have loved his appearing. And I want to add, and have kept their head with that one. Let's stand to our feet this morning. You know, the scripture says that we're our brother's keeper. And I wouldn't want anybody to leave here today that maybe needs prayer in some of these areas. Maybe you feel right now that you're going through a real strong storm in your life, and it's hard not to look at the waves. And the enemy is really playing with your mind. You know what? Sometimes you just need people to take authority over that. I had a couple of girlfriends do that for me a couple of days ago. I said, this is what's going on, and I'm having a hard time getting victory here. Can you pray for me and take authority over the enemy? And they did, you know, and that broke something. So if you're like that today, I want you to come and come to the front, and we'll have people pray for you. Or maybe there's an area that you feel that you're just struggling with your temperament, and you're just like, oh man, I'm having a hard time with this battle. I just need somebody to lock on side me and pray with me too, and because we've all been there. Or maybe today you're in a storm and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. Maybe you're trying to fight the storm all alone because you don't know the Savior. I want to tell you today, you can call out to Him. You can call out to Him in the storm, even if He hasn't been your Savior, even if you haven't heard about this before. You can call out to Him, and you can say, God, if you're real, show yourself to me. And I believe He will. And you can say, Jesus, I need you. I need you in my life. I need you to help me. I need you to be my Savior. You know what'll happen? Jesus will come, and He'll meet you right where you are. If you put your faith in Him, you can be a child of God this morning. And you can have Him in the boat with you. I don't know how people go through storms without Jesus. I know I can't. It's hard enough with Him. Right? When we have to fight the enemy in that too. But without Him, you're lost. But with Him, God will give us victory even in the midst of our storm. So I'm just going to pray over us generally as a congregation. But you come this morning if you feel that you need some prayer in some of these areas, because I don't think we should leave unless you should leave today unless God ministers to you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you this morning, Lord God, that Father, that you are so faithful to speak to us, Lord. Thank you, God, that you told me back in March to keep my head, because you knew, God, that the storm that was coming. And God, I want to be able to keep my head. I want to be able to do it right this time, Lord. And God, I pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning, Lord. I pray for those that are going through storms, Lord God. Lord Jesus, help them to know today, God, that you are in the boat with them in this storm, Lord. And that, God, that they're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus today, Lord. Father, I pray, God, for those, Lord, that are struggling in the area of just letting their spirit control their temperament, Lord. God, that just fight battles with rage and anger. Father, that have a hard time controlling their tongue, Lord. God, I just pray, God, Father, that you would help them, Lord God, that you just give them a tongue of the disciple, Lord Jesus. God, and I just pray today for all of us, God. Father, that we would keep our head in the times that we're living in, Lord God. God, there's so much darkness in our world. There's so much chaos, Lord. There's so many things that we can get confused at times. Are we sure? Is this okay to believe this? God, when your word tells us black and white, this is what you think, God. Help us to stay true to your word, Lord God. But help us to love those, God. To love those, God, that are deceived, Lord, that haven't heard the truth of your word. God, we pray for our city, God. We pray for the next generation, God, because they're really being attacked with this, God. God, help them to keep their head, Lord Jesus. God, we just pray, God, that many would come into the kingdom, Lord, to the saving knowledge of Jesus, Lord. God, we pray for our team right now, God, that's in Uganda, God. Oh, God, anoint them, Lord, as they minister in that nation, Lord God. God, let there be signs and wonders following the preaching of the word, God. Let there be many souls come into the kingdom, God. Build your church, oh God. Don't let the gates of hell prevail against it, Lord. We trust you today, Lord. Help us keep our head, Father. Help us keep our head straight, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.